not that girl. I'm curious about why she is still a virgin, but that's a question for another night. Her soft lips press together as she studies my face. You could get anyone to play this role for you. I'm the worst choice. I shake my head, enjoying the negotiation more than I should. Every time we're near each other, there's an electric energy in the room. You're the only choice at the moment, Cameron, because you're the one I want. Why? She pulls her hands into the sleeves of her sweatshirt and gives herself a hug. There's no good answer to a question like that. Can you explain why you're attracted to me? Who says I am? My brow cocks. It won't work out, she says, frowning. It would probably be fine if it was just the two of us, but it wouldn't be. What are you talking about? She looks at me closely, and I recall her outrage at the clinic. Does she think the gangbang was a plan I was on board with? Multiple partner scenarios don't interest me, Cameron. It will be just us. I have no intention of sharing you.
Good.
But that's not the only issue. You don't talk directly to me. A year ago, you sent your friend. Lately, it's your uncle. Then today, you had your assistant text. You seem to be an expert at delegating personal conversations to other people. I don't want messages from your butler or your uncle about having myself waxed. Ah, so that's the problem. First of all, my uncle is completely out of this. He should never have been in it in the first place. That's on your family, not me. But when it comes to Briggs, all right. From now on, what's between us is between us, and if you don't want Briggs to speak to you or make eye contact, I'll take care of it. She exhales heavily. I'm not trying to lord myself above other people. I just don't want to be treated like a sex object by all your minions. Understood? From now on, people will be respectful toward you. All right? Her head tilts. You're part of the problem. Am I? Your body seems to like it when I take charge. She purses her lips, and I have the urge to part them with my thumb and to make her suck. My darkest sexual urges are so strong when I'm near her. They're hard to resist. This is a good solution for you, I say. A 75K debt forgiven for 2 weeks with someone you're already attracted to. It could be construed as a win-win. Leaning forward, I whisper, the real risk is that I'll ruin you for other men. I know my way around a woman's body. And I've got stamina you're unlikely to find again. She laughs softly. I know one thing. You've got an ego I'm unlikely to find again. I smile. I enjoy teasing her, especially when she teases back. It's unusual for me to have this kind of rapport with a woman. Give me 2 weeks. With you treating me like a possession? That's part of the arrangement, yes. Her brow quirks, but I think I have her. Unfortunately, there's one more thing I need to say that might not go over well. Still, it's do or die time. So the cards need to be face up on the table. One more thing, Cameron. She looks up at me curiously, and so innocently it makes my balls ache. If you misbehave, I'll punish you. Her brows furrow, and she draws back.
Punish me? How?
You know. You got a taste of it last year.
Oh, that.
Her expression doesn't cloud, which makes me feel like I've just thrown a 50-yard touchdown pass.
How roughly?
Never in ways that would cause an injury. Rubbing my palm with my thumb, I pause. But rough enough that you'll know who's in charge.
Cameron. It's a cat and mouse game, and I'm definitely not the cat. We negotiate a while longer as my heart thumps wildly in my chest, and I'm torn between shock and attraction. He adjusts his shirt cuff, looking every bit the billionaire businessman, and in the end, gets what he wants. I'll work off $5,000 of debt every day I'm with him, with a bonus $5,000 on my last day, if I make it the full 2 weeks. I'll dress and groom myself to satisfy his tastes. And when he wants sex of any kind, I will not be allowed to refuse. But the arrangement will be discreet, and we'll both sign a non-disclosure agreement to that effect. People will be told I'm his personal assistant. Emphasis on personal, I think tartly. He'll pay for everything while I'm with him. And anything he buys me is mine to take when I leave. When I ask whether he usually buys his personal assistants lingerie and couture dresses, he smiles. No. My full-time PA is a lesbian in her 50s, who doesn't appreciate questions about her personal life, period. If I offered to buy her underwear, it would not go down well. The only bonuses she wants are cash ones, so that's what she gets. I like that you have a lesbian PA. Glad you approve, he deadpans, which makes me smile and reminds me of the way he seemed on the night we met. Is the arrogance a front? My head tilts. Are you a nice guy deep down, Declan? No. And not particularly. My smile fades. Okay, noted. Once the locksmith finishes replacing my lock, Declan tests the door to be sure it's secure. He hands me my new key, but closes his fist around mine, holding on. You'll move into my guest room tonight, so you'll be safe. I don't want to stay in my apartment, so I nod. It's official. Declan Hayworth has acquired what no one should be able to buy. Another human being. Chapter 12. Cameron. When we arrive at Hayworth House, Declan sets my suitcase next to the door of a guest room and opens it. The room is rose and gray with a large mixed media canvas that has a cameo of Coco Chanel in its center and overlaid images of Paris landmarks in charcoal, pink, and silver. Layered into the work are pieces of old newspaper and textiles. It's very cool. I rest my hand on the bedspread, which is a mix of crushed velvet squares in the same shades as the painting. I love that the room manages to be elegant without being overly formal. There's another guest room down the hall you can look at, Declan offers. It has a bigger window. No, this one is perfect. Declan leans against the doorframe, filling the space. He rubs his eyes, looking sleepy. It's getting late.
It's 10:45, not that late.
I got up at 5.
Good grief, why?
You planning to become a Kansas farmer so you can improve the food supply? He smirks.
It could use my oversight.
You think that about everything?
His brows shrug.
Pretty much.
There's no evidence of joking in his tone, so perhaps he really does think if he ruled the world, he'd be doing us a favor.
I cross over to him and use my palm to give him a gentle push. He doesn't move from the doorway.
So, thanks for giving me a great room. Good night.
A large hand covers mine and squeezes.
Get undressed and lie on the bed with your legs spread. I want to look at you.
Shivering, I drag my hand out from under his. I know he'll see me naked, but I didn't expect it to be now and this way. With him completely dressed as he scrutinizes me. I'm comfortable with my body, but the directive is still intimidating.
Cameron.
His voice is low with a hint of threat in it.
Keep me waiting at your own risk.
Can you do something for me?
Such as?
Close your eyes. I'll tell you when I'm ready. Exhaling a small sigh, he looks skeptical.
That's not the way this works.
Please? My voice is soft, but I tell myself I'm just asking, not begging. His lids fall over his stunning eyes. Moving closer, I lean in and rise onto my toes. My lips press a small kiss onto his.
Thank you,
I say, reassured by the fact that it was my choice to kiss him.
Yes, technically Declan owns me. But I'm not an inanimate doll.
His voice is stern.
Don't keep me waiting.
Okay. Stripping only takes a few moments. I stack my clothes on a nearby chair and then recline on the bed. I'm not sure what pose would be best, so I try not to overthink it. I've seen photos of women in swimsuits where they arch their back, so I do that. Not in an exaggerated way, but enough so that it feels sexy. Staring at the ceiling, I stretch my arms overhead toward the headboard. This arrangement can work for me too in its own way. I want more experience. Being with Declan is a way to get it.
You're beautiful, nymph. My head jerks, so our eyes meet.
He didn't wait to open his eyes, which shouldn't surprise me.
My hands drop down to cover myself. No.
Put your arms back over your head and spread your legs.
His tone isn't harsh, but it's commanding. The breath sticks in my throat. Could you? He moves closer to the bed.
Don't worry about what I'm doing. Just concentrate on your own body. Close your eyes if you need to.
My lids drift down. I stretch my arms over my head again and ease my legs open. It's shocking to be this exposed, but it's also strangely compelling. The bed sags as he climbs onto it. My heart thumps harder. Does he intend to do more than look? My legs are spread farther apart so that my lower lips open, revealing to him that I'm wet. The air I breathe seems thin, like I'm at mountain altitude.
Your skin is flawless. It makes your body look airbrushed.
I'm not expecting his mouth, so I shudder when he kisses my stomach.
Nymph suits you.
Taking my breast into his mouth, he sucks. Heat pools between my legs, and I start to close them. Raising his head, he says, no. His rough palm settles on my inner thigh.
Keep your legs spread until I give you permission to close them.
My heart hammers, and my breath sounds too loud as I exhale. But as I lick my lips, I give a small nod. I want to open my eyes, but I don't want to make eye contact. A small part of me feels like being an object might not be such a bad thing at the moment.
Have you had oral sex? He asks.
I shrug. His soft chuckle inspires a round of shivers. Declan's teeth tease my nipple, which causes my back to arch, instinctively trying to feed it more of my flesh.
Are you my baby nymph? Who needs me to teach her everything?
I don't know if it's possible to come from listening to someone's voice, but if it is, I may. Not everything, I say vaguely.
His wandering lips are a distraction. No? What have you tried?
I've had boyfriends. So I've performed oral sex. No way to escape it. Boys would riot.
And you?
His finger circles my nipple, which is still wet from his mouth. I wish he'd suck it again. And me? I mumble.
Did your boyfriends reciprocate?
Sort of.
So, no.
The tip of his tongue presses into my belly button, making me shiver again.
Men are selfish and impatient. You have to put up with that from me because I own you. But you shouldn't accept it from a boyfriend.
Declan moves down the bed and settles between my legs. The broadness of his shoulders forces my legs farther apart, opening me as wide as I can be opened without penetration. As soon as he kisses between my legs, I shudder and fist the sheets with my hands. Please don't tease me. If you're just going to... His tongue dips between my lower lips, and he sucks the juice from inside me like it's nectar. My body is racked by a mini orgasm, and half my brain melts.
You were saying,
he whispers dryly. I'm speechless, and breathless, and desperate. The flat of his tongue traces a path from my pussy's opening to my clit. Breath stutters out of me. This feels foreign and so sexy, because it's Declan and because he moves slowly, like he's savoring me. His mouth works my clit until my hips rise, begging for more. A thumb replaces his tongue, rubbing a slow circle over the throbbing bead. Swallowing against a throat that's dry from panting, I groan softly. My hand reaches down until my fingers slide into his hair. He takes my hand and threads our fingers together.
Ask for what you want, nymph.
When I don't speak, he adds,
no. Start by telling me what feels good.
Licking my lips, I struggle to find words. I love the feel of his mouth and fingers on me. And being called nymph
as though I'm a delicate magical creature. He continues to lick and stroke me until the pressure of wanting more builds to a fever pitch. My eyes open, and I look down my body at his black hair between my pale thighs. "I want you inside me," I say hoarsely. "Your tongue, or something harder." He raises his head and our eyes meet. "Like my fingers, or like my cock?"
"Yes."
Declan draws in a deep breath and rises up onto his knees. He removes his shirt, revealing his stunning chest. He's so ripped and so perfect. No man is built like this naturally. He's created his incredible body from hour upon hour of hard work, and I'm here for it. I sit up so I can touch him. My fingers trace the lines of his muscles as he lowers his zipper.
"Your body is so epic."
His head dips and he kisses me slowly and deeply. Then he sheds the rest of his clothes. Every inch of him is beautiful, including his ragingly hard erection. My hand drifts toward it, but he's out of reach as he takes a condom from his wallet.
"Lie back."
"Would you like me to touch or lick you? I'd like to."
A slow breath escapes through his puckered lips, like even he's having a hard time controlling himself.
"Eventually."
My gaze rises to meet his, and the intensity of his lust makes my heart pound like galloping horses. Lowering myself slowly until my back touches the mattress, I lick my lips. He moves above me, and the head of his cock presses against my entrance. The stroke of his fingers causes a thrill of arousal in my clit. I'm ready to have sex with Declan Hayworth. This is what I've wanted since the first night we met. But my body, which is desperate to be penetrated, isn't prepared for just how big he is. When the plump head of his cock pushes into me, a sharp pain cuts through me, dragging a small cry from my throat. And as he moves, the pinching pain doesn't ease, it worsens. "Wait," I gasp, grabbing his arm. He lowers his body so he's in a push-up just above me.
"Look at me."
His voice is commanding, but it takes a moment for me to obey. My hips try to retreat, but one big hand on my shoulder prevents my escape. "It hurts."
"I know," he says.
His hips drop to touch mine, forcing more of his thick length into me. The stretch is agonizing and my muscles lock. "Declan," I rasp frantically. Grabbing both his arms, I dig my nails in. This isn't right. Taylor said the first time she had sex didn't hurt at all.
"Shh, don't scratch."
His voice is calm, but at the moment I can't be soothed. "You're hurting me."
"The worst is over," he says. "Relax for me."
His cock drives deeper, stretching me to accommodate the thick shaft. It's too much. But there's another sensation, too. My teeth sink into my lower lip. Tightening my grip on his arms, I whimper. He looks down at me.
"No nails, nymph.
Just can't let go." Shifting positions, he takes my wrists, pulls them up and over my head, and pins them to the mattress.
"Trying to clench your knees together won't help. Spread your legs,"
he orders gently. "I can't."
"Should I tie your legs open with rope?"
he whispers.
"If I have to do that, I'll fuck you for hours to make it worth the effort."
Oh my God. I'm shaking from the mix of adrenaline, fear, and arousal. "Don't be rough," I beg, easing my knees away from his sides.
"You're so tight," he husks. "Breaking you in may take more than one night."
Writhing under him, I tip my head back. It's hard to get enough air. He covers my body with his and presses us together, skin to skin. His skin is softer than I expect it to be, and his body feels good against mine, despite the painful ache between my legs.
"Give me your mouth," he says.
I lower my chin enough for him to kiss me. A part of me wants to bite his tongue to make him hurt a little too. Another part likes the taste of him. The way our tongues caress each other makes my back arch. Skin glides against skin.
"Your pussy's so snug."
He kisses my jaw.
"It feels good, but I need to move." After some slow pulses, he starts to thrust. I cry out, but it's not only from pain. There are moments when he strikes something deep in my core that feels profoundly right. That feeling reverberates through me, into my belly and my womb. Please, please, please. My voice sounds desperate and raw. It hurts because I'm big. But later that will feel good, he murmurs. Trust me. His rhythm slows, and he grinds his pelvis against my clit until I'm gasping. I'm perched on a sharp edge between pleasure and pain, but I don't want him to stop. Before long, my body burns for release. My teeth clamp down on my lip and my hips circle. Like this, I beg. Please. Declan releases my wrists and moves his hands beneath me to grip my ass. He fuses us together, grinding me into his hands, and he drives his cock into my pussy. Having a thick cock deep inside is what you were made for. His words cause a wave of arousal inside me, making my pussy clench and my nipples tighten. Liquid heat builds. I'm trapped, and knowing I can't escape causes another twisted kind of pleasure to course through me. Like this. Just like this. My lips part so I can drag in a harsh breath. Then need explodes into the most intense sensation I've ever felt. A watershed of tingling spreads through my pussy and into my ass. My throat convulses as I swallow, and the walls of my pussy spasm around him, clutching his cock. Declan groans. Being inside you when you come feels incredible. His hips thrust harder, and the bed creaks like it might crack into splinters. Jaw clenched, Declan pumps hard until his muscles flex and pop. Declan, I gasp, as raw pain threatens to overcome the pleasure again. Almost. His groans grow louder, and his grip tightens. Then he stiffens and grinds his teeth together, and I realize he's coming with his cock deep inside me. The small jerking pulses that follow start rough but quickly slow. He lowers his body onto mine, breathing hard. Moments of stunned silence reign as his hot mouth rests against my neck, heating my skin. I'm not a virgin anymore. Declan and I wanted each other, and now we've had each other. The way this played out is both fantastic and devastating. When he pulls out, I feel open. Cool air kisses my flesh, reaching places it never has before. His strong arms curl around me, hugging me against his hot skin. The embrace feels good, and I hug him back. He kisses my temple, and I kiss his throat. Declan lets go first. My hands try to hold on, but can't. All my muscles are quaking and spent. Somehow, he's still strong. Rising up to his knees, he stretches, looking achingly masculine and sated. Glancing down the length of my body, I watch him remove the blood-tinged condom. My hand reaches down to touch myself, but his hand catches mine, pulling it away before I can touch. Am I still bleeding? A little. It'll stop now. He tosses the condom in the trash and moves to sit on the edge of the bed next to me. Want to take a warm bath? Or do you need me to lie down with you for a while? He felt me trying to hold on and didn't let me. So I know which of the options he wants me to choose. A bath, I guess. Or maybe I'll just go to sleep. Sure. Whatever you'd like. You can go, I say. I know you want to. I want him to contradict me. Not with anything sappy, but with at least a trace of sweetness. He's my first, but I'm not his. Surely he has some practice at moments like this. Declan shrugs, muscles rippling. Ones I don't have a right to touch anymore. We're not in a romantic relationship, Cameron, so I should go. It's not a good idea to blur the lines. But I know that was intense for you. I resent the implication that I'm being needy, even if I am feeling that way.
To divert attention from the emotional side of things, I ask, why was it so hard for me to take physically? Before we started, I felt ready.
It'll be easier next time.
Glancing up, I study his broad back. That wasn't my question. He shakes his head.
Doesn't matter now, does it?
Taking a deep breath, he stretches his right shoulder.
I'll lie down with you for a while.
There's reluctance in his tone, which rattles my cage again. No, that's okay. Go. My tone is light, but there's an unmistakable edge. He glances at me as he stands.
Slide over.
I look at his cock. Even in a relaxed state, it seems menacing now that I know how it feels to take it inside me. How much bigger than average is it? Continuing to ignore the questions he doesn't care to answer, he's silent. It prickles my nerves like needles. Declan scoops me up and moves me so there's room for him in the bed. You know, everything was okay, even the pain. Except for one thing, I say. His dark blue gaze settles on my face, but he says nothing. When I told you to wait, you should have stopped. My eyes pierce him. If he's going to be coldly practical, so will I. The only response he offers is a hard-as-diamond silence. He lies on his side facing me. Maybe because he wants to keep an eye on the increasingly hostile girl who's emerged from his willing little nymph. Nothing to say? I demand.
Sometimes pain has to be pushed through to achieve something important. Like the orgasm you had during your first time.
My eyes narrow. We're not in the gym. And I'm not some rookie football player you're pushing to lift more weight so he'll be stronger on the field.
You're right. A rookie teammate has more right to tell me to mind my own business than you do. Not that they would. They want my advice.
It's my turn to remain silent. But my mutinous expression speaks for me.
Your body belongs to me, remember? He says. I'm allowed to push you until you surrender. Especially when it makes you come all over my cock.
His tone is so fucking smug. My fist shoots out and punches him in the middle of his six-pack. The thwack and the impact of flesh on flesh startles us both. He grimaces, and I jerk my hand back, stunned that I just hit him.
Are you fucking kidding me? He demands.
Maybe, I say carefully.
But you deserved it.
His expression is thunderous, and for a second, I'm afraid he will hit me back and really hurt me.
I won't punish you tonight for that punch. But I might tomorrow.
His tone is dangerous and sends an icy shiver down my spine.
And I'll definitely punish you harshly if you ever try that again when you haven't just lost your virginity.
Chapter 13. Declan. The sun's up when I climb from my bed, and my first thoughts are of Cameron Reynolds. Last night was all the things, high and low, and I'm here for it. I can't remember the last time a girl was able to get an emotional rise out of me. Usually their antics barely cause a blip. My hand drops to a spot on my abs a few inches north of the waistband of my boxer briefs. A wry smile forms. I can't believe she punched me. Shaking my head, I stretch with a small chuckle. Her fist can't be much bigger than a plum. Hitting a man twice her size is a crazy impulse. Maybe deep down she wants to be punished. I text Briggs and tell him not to come to the house until 11. I want time alone with her. I jog down the steps and check the guest room. It's empty, but the closet stands open and her suitcase is still inside. Good. My nymph didn't flee the house after I left the guest room bed last night. I stroll over to the bathroom door and hear a splash of water. She's in the tub. Trying the knob, I find the door locked, so I knock.
Yes,
she says. It's Declan. Unlock the door.
I'm taking a bath.
A few beats of silence pass, and I realize that's all she's going to say. I walk to the secretary in the front room and grab an antique key that works everywhere on the first floor. After I unlock the door, I step inside. The room smells like citrus bath salts and ginger grapefruit shampoo. Drawing in a deep breath, I savor all the fragrances that signal the presence of a pretty girl. Cameron's submerged in hazy water. As I approach the claw-footed tub, she sucks in a startled breath. Seriously? She looks at my face and then my body before turning her head to stare at the glossy herringbone wall tiles. Ignoring her frustration, I drop the lid on the commode and sit. Her gaze darts to me. Seriously, what are you doing? Talking with you. The conversation can't wait until I'm done here and dressed. Stretching my legs out in front of me, I fold my arms across my chest. I let silence speak for me. If I answer, it would imply I'm interested in negotiating, which I'm not. You're impossible. She huffs softly. Just because some exhibitionist girlfriend lets you barge in on her in the bathroom doesn't mean I will. Each assumption inaccurate. Her head turns, and her expression is curious. How so? Before this, the only bathing woman I ever talked to was my mom. When I was very small, I was in the tub with her. When I got too old for that, I'd wait until she was settled in, and then I'd sit in the doorway and we'd talk. I liked it because no one interrupted. How old were you? 7, I think. Maybe 8. It's nice that you were so close. Are you close to your dad, too? No. There's a lot of history there. Much of it bad. I don't normally talk about either of my parents, but I avoid the subject of my father in particular. We're estranged. Because he's likely a murderer. Cameron rests her head against the back of the tub, looking thoughtful. What do you want to talk about? I wanted to see how you are this morning. Are you sore?
No, I'm fine.
Her tone is clipped. Are you, though?
Do you care?
She moves an arm, causing a splash and small ripples.
It's okay for me to hate you as long as I spread my legs when ordered to. Right?
That's what you said. She has me there. I was only half serious when I said that, which I think you know.
Do you feel guilty about last night?
She asks. I shake my head.
Then you were more than half serious.
Her determination to resent the way I handled the night before is not going to be productive. I think about getting up and walking out, but we still have 2 weeks ahead of us. So I stay. I was clear this was going to be a no-holds-barred sexual relationship. I wasn't violent or rough last night. All I did was what men have been doing with virgins since the beginning of time. Her eyes narrow, and the look she gives me could blister the paint off the walls.
You pinned me down?
Yeah, and I'll do that again, and more. Assuming you stay with me. One of her submerged feet pulls the plug from the drain. The sound of water descending into pipes fills the silence. I couldn't make your first time painless. My goal was to make the pain worth it. Her gaze shifts to look at me.
I believe that.
Something hangs in the air, unresolved and tense. When she nods at the door, inviting me to leave her alone, I don't. Continuing to lean back against the tank, I watch her as she sinks lower into the vanishing water. Are you afraid to have sex with me again? I ask. There are so many other women I could be with that her answer shouldn't matter, but it does. None of your business. That answer wasn't even in the top 100 things I thought she might say. Sitting forward, I cock an eyebrow.
Can you step out? I'd like some privacy, she adds.
Her tone is neutral, but I almost say no because, in her own way, she's trying to dismiss me. By refusing to answer my question, she's proven I don't control everything between us, and asking me to give her some space is her mic drop. Sure, I force myself to say. In my head, I add, well played. When she comes into the guest room in a towel, she jerks back at the sight of me.
What are you doing here?
You made it clear that we would have our own rooms. Come over here.
No.
That's the wrong strategy. But to be fair, she doesn't have any good moves left. It takes about 30 seconds to get her over my thighs with her pert ass in the air. Her struggles only make things hotter as I jerk the towel off and pin her arm into the small of her back. Cameron is so slim that with her tipped over my lap, I can see her pretty pink asshole and pouting pussy lips. My fingers want to sink into her holes until she writhes and begs for more, the way she did last night. A lightning bolt of hunger hits me over the memory. My nymph worked herself into an angry lather later, but while I was inside her, she spread her legs and dripped honey all over my dick. "Lie still," I order in a gruff voice. "We're going to reset things." "Wait," she says, squirming to try to free herself. "I want to talk about this." My eyes roll, right, as if conversing did us any good last night. I slap her ass several times, bringing a blush of blood to the surface. Her skin is wet from the bath, which I'm sure makes the sting worse.
"Declan, you can't," she says breathlessly.
"Someone will hear." The house is empty. My palm falls more heavily against her soft flesh. Her movements morph into ones that are driven by arousal. Her back arches and her ankles cross to press her thighs together as she accepts several firm swats. The pink brightens.
"Oh, God,"
she murmurs in a husky voice.
"All right, I'll tell you whatever you want."
I have zero interest in anything other than what I'm doing. As her ass turns as red as a ripe strawberry, her hips twists. My nymph needs to be fucked. Reaching down, I find her nipple and pinch it. She whimpers, and her knees part. Arousal glistens on her lower lips. My palm covers her breast and squeezes. "I like the way this fits in my mouth. You like it too, don't you?" I don't expect an answer, and she doesn't give me one, other than the way she moves. My fingers pinch her nipple again, hard enough to draw a gasp. Then I return to spanking her. Her ass turns red hot, and she begins to clench. Soon she's fighting again, kicking her legs and squirming. My cock enjoys every rowdy second, remaining hard enough to crack walnuts.
"Please stop,"
she gasps, her voice cracking. I pause, and she sags over my lap like a wilted flower.
"Fuck,"
she whimpers, panting. She's close to tears. I lay my palm on her ass, feeling the heat rise against my skin. I squeeze, and she squirms until I stop. "Next time you're angry, do you think you'll be able to stop short of violence?"
"Yes,"
she hisses, glad to hear it. My fingers delve between her pussy lips, finding wet heat. "You're slippery." My middle finger pushes into her slowly, sliding in easily, despite how tight she still is. She whimpers, but her hips twist in a telltale way. The friction of her belly over my cock sends a wave of need down into my balls. "Does it feel good?" I ask. When she doesn't answer, I add my index finger. She groans and lets out a small sob.
"Just two. No more. Please."
I ease my fingers out of her. There's no blood, not even a tinge of pink. "Good." Releasing her, I glance down at her blushing ass. I want to fuck her deep in that tight hole, too. "Easy," I tell myself. She just gave up one V-card last night. "Get on your knees, nymph." She scrambles to her feet, her eyes shiny with unshed tears as she rubs her ass.
"That was intense. I need a minute."
Backing away, she ends up leaning with her shoulders against the wall. As I stand, she watches me warily. I slide the boxer briefs off, and her gaze drops immediately to my hard cock. She bites her lip, and her expression stays wary, but also seems interested. I walk to the window and tap a button to open the blinds a few millimeters to let some light stream in. Tree branches are only a few feet away, but without leaves, the light passes through. A small, cool hand touches my side and slides down to my ass. Glancing over my shoulder, I watch her face, which is intent.
"I can't stand you right now,"
she says rebelliously. Her gaze flicks up to mine to emphasize the point before dropping back down. "But you have a really great ass, and I kind of want to bite it." I smirk. "No biting." She pinches my ass, and I brush her hand away. "You can lick and suck anything you want, but anytime I feel teeth, I'll call a foul on the play."
I turn and bend my head to bite her nipple, showing her that different rules apply to me.
Hey,
she says, sucking in a breath and trying to push me away. I suck on her and then bite down again. Her hands grab my biceps to steady herself. I raise my head and kiss her, turning her body and backing her up against the wall. She pushes her hips forward to keep her ass from touching. Yeah, that pretty peach is going to be sore for a while. I slide my knee between her thighs and raise it until her pussy is riding my leg. Her eyes widen as I bounce my thigh against her wet sex. Her hands slide up to my neck, and the touch is electric. I raise my leg higher so her lower lips splay open, and she's riding my thigh like she's on horseback. Cameron gasps against my mouth and starts to grind her clit against my thigh. You have the softest fucking lips. When I start kissing you, it's hard to stop. Then don't, she rasps, offering her petal-soft lips to me again. I kiss her. But I suspect the thing she really doesn't want me to stop doing is bouncing her on my leg. Her fingers slide into my hair, and she clutches it like she needs something to hold on to. My hands reach behind to grab her punished ass, which is still warm from the spanking. Her mouth opens with an oh of surprise as my grip tightens, a little pain to spice up the pleasure, and to remind Cameron that she's owned. When I drag her back and forth over my thigh, her back arches. And she groans, oh my God. Her hands drop to my arms, and she grips them, closing her eyes and concentrating. Her nipples are tight peaks as I move her forward and back in a progressively rougher sliding motion. Her hips circle and pulse as she rubs her clit against my quads. Then she shudders and groans. The flesh of her cheeks spreads down to her chest. She's so pretty when she comes. Her breath escapes in tortured puffs until her head falls forward onto my chest. Oh my God. Okay. Okay. She whispers, pushing at my forearms to get me to stop. I lower her to the floor and release her as I stare down at her beautiful face. Those parted lips are ruby red at the moment. My balls ache for release. So I take my cock in hand and start to pump it. Light brown eyes finally catch sight of what I'm doing and widen. She looks up at my face through her lashes.
Back up, she whispers. Just a little.
Taking a step back, I watch her lower herself to her knees. She presses her thighs together, making me wonder if she's still feeling the aftershocks of her orgasm.
Okay.
Her voice is little more than breath, and I'm pretty sure she's talking to herself. Then she bends her head, and the tip of her tongue licks my crown.
Fuck.
More, I order. Her eyes rise to look up at me for a moment. And there's a small smile of triumph. Then she opens her mouth and sucks the head of my cock like she plans to swallow it whole. My left palm shoots forward to brace myself against the wall.
Do that again, exactly the same way.
With my cock in her mouth, she licks precum from the slit, then glides along the base. When she swallows, her tongue curls around me, and my fucking mind melts. Usually I'm rough when I fuck a girl's face, but nothing could feel better than the way she works my cock with her mouth. It's partly her technique. But it's not only that. What makes it feel so good is that she sucks me like she loves it. Like I'm her favorite food and she's savoring it. The orgasm builds at the base of my balls until I can't stop it. My hips jerk and I fire cum into her mouth until it's full. She sputters as she swallows because I've gone so deep. I pull back. And her lips close around me as she continues to drink me down. It's fucking heaven.
Chapter 14. Cameron. Declan decides he wants me to come to South Carolina, so I ride with him in the back of a dark sedan to Boston. Thankfully, it's not the same driver who took me to the clinic. We don't talk much. He studies video footage of the opposing team. I read articles on my e-reader. In Boston, Declan checks us into the Wolfram Hotel, which is stunning. And then he sends me out shopping, with instructions on which boutiques to visit. Everyone I meet is extremely nice to Declan's credit card, and consequently, to me. It's easy to see how this personal attention and service can be addictive. Everyone fawns over me like I'm a princess. When I return to the hotel, the driver carries my packages inside.
spotting some of the Hayworth fan club. I tuck my chin to my chest and hurry through the main lobby, trying not to be seen. It's unnerving that they always seem to be able to find out where he is. To me, they feel more like stalkers than fans, but he doesn't seem bothered by it. The penthouse suite has a private elevator, and since I don't have a keycard, a member of the hotel staff has to accompany me upstairs for my meeting with Mr. Hayworth. My face burns as the staff member glances at all my shopping bags. Yes, he bought all this, and me too. Thanks for not asking. Upstairs, there's a navy blue door to the suite. The Wolfram staff opens it for me. Inside, the suite is elegant and enormous. A bronze sculpture of a knight on horseback stands prominently on a side table. Declan pauses during a phone call to tip the driver and the hotel staff member, and then returns to his call. He's either talking to another player or a coach, because the discussion is about some new thoughts he had on game strategy. I'm a football fan, so it's fascinating to hear his half of the analysis. When I start to transfer bags into the guest room, he stops me by holding up his index finger. Sitting on the couch, I wait until he ends his call. He's wearing a blue cashmere sweater and charcoal pants that are cut so perfectly, I wonder if they were tailored rather than bought from a store. He is every inch the billionaire heir, seemingly all the time. Do you ever wear jeans? Not in the Wolfram. Show me what you bought. All of it? I got a lot, per your instructions. My gaze cuts to him, waiting for any hint that he disapproves of my spending. Good. He sets his phone on a blue lacquer table. Show me. Model them or just hold them up? The corner of his mouth curves. We don't have time for you to model them. I wish we did. Are we going out? Yeah, we're flying to South Carolina. My eyes dart to the clock. But we just checked into the suite. No, this is my family's penthouse apartment. We keep it year-round since we're in Boston a lot. I glance around, stunned. It didn't occur to me that the best suites in opulent hotels might be permanently rented out. When is our flight? In about an hour and a half. It's a private charter. A private charter, naturally. Despite myself, I'm excited by the prospect. There will be other players catching a ride with me. You remember the plan, right? You're to behave as my PA, so you'll sit on your own in the back. And we won't do anything that is overly familiar. There goes my plan to join the Mile High Club. He smiles. It's overrated. That causes my own smirk to disappear. Of course, he's had sex on a plane. Again, I feel a twinge of resentment at the opulence of his life and the wild way he's been able to live. Also, if I'm being honest, I may be jealous of the Mile High woman he was with, just a bit. Well, I guess I'll grab my suitcase, I say, taking boxes out of bags. Hey, is there any way I could go to the game? I know it's last minute, but sure. I glance up and he nods. I'd been nervous about asking, so I'm flooded with joy that he said yes so easily. Awesome! I'm a GU fan and a huge football fan in general, I gush. I would have given anything to be at the Eagles Super Bowl game. His gaze holds mine steadily, until he curls down my body and into my new designer panties. Too bad we didn't know each other then. We could have worked something out. Rolling my eyes, I purse my lips. I was young and innocent, not ready to be corrupted by the likes of you. So we met when we were supposed to meet. I busy myself by showing him the various purchases. He's quiet as I hold things up. Eventually, the silence becomes unnerving. Well, what do you think? The lingerie is perfect. That's all I expect to find under your clothes from now on. The other pieces will serve. I eye him, unable to resist asking, what would you have preferred? You could have gone sexier and more colorful. The dresses are conservative for someone your age. You're not into flash. What's the brightest color suit you have, charcoal? Navy, he corrects with a small smile, and I have red ties, among other colors.
Yeah, that 2 inches of fabric is really peacocking. I glance at the bags. I chose dresses I thought you'd consider appropriate.
It's all right, they're fine.
It's not fine with me. The clothes were very expensive, and I chose them because I thought he'd approve of them. Most aren't even to my taste. Do I have time to exchange them? Maybe I can text you pictures while I'm shopping?
Leave all but the black dress here. Someone from the hotel staff will return them. Keep the casual wear. Those look more like you.
Well, like a more upscale version of me. The boots? I'd have to eat ramen for 6 months to afford one. He flashes a smile.
Like they'd sell them one at a time?
I shrug with a wink as I start to gather the dresses I'll leave behind. I hang them in the closet that is closest to the door. When I come back, I'm surprised to find Declan still standing in the common area. Are you already ready to go?
Just about. Come here.
I stroll over to him.
We have a few minutes to spare. Get on your knees, nymph.
The directive takes me by surprise, and I'm sure my expression clouds. Now?
Right now.
His tone is flat, as though he's asked me to make him a cup of coffee. My stomach flutters as I lower myself to eye level with his zipper. Everything about this feels different. Until this moment, all our sexual encounters have been two-sided. When his hands move to his sides, I understand that I'm meant to do everything. A fierce flush starts in my cheeks and spreads down my neck. This is the agreement. My fingers lower his zipper. 2 weeks to a clean slate. When I touch him, he's already hard. Smooth, soft skin over iron. Did he have an erection the whole time we were talking about clothes? Did having me spend his money like a trophy wife turn him on? Is this how it is between couples in his circle? The man with so much money and the woman with a willing mouth, he buys her diamonds. She drops to her knees on command to show her gratitude. Strangely, a twisted arousal crawls through me like venom. I should hate this and him. But I don't. I swirl my tongue slowly around the head and dip the tip into his slit. The faint taste of him, that bittersweet flavor, hits my tongue. I'm not sure if it has something to do with his body chemistry or the food he eats, but he tastes delicious. As I suck, I wait for the drops of fluid that are my little reward for turning him on. Above me, his breath grows harsher. Declan's cock fills my mouth without even thrusting. Wrapping my fingers around the base, I stroke him up and down between my lips. My tongue presses along his thick length, exploring the texture and teasing him toward release. His fingers lace into my hair and tighten on the strands until they tug at my scalp. Slowly pulling my head back, he positions it to suit him. The rhythm of his thrusts drive me to breathlessness. His eyes are closed, and his expression is intent. When he erupts in my mouth, I struggle to swallow. His hand drops from my hair to my chin, fingers holding me firmly in place. Declan wants me to drink him down, so I do. His hand moves up to cup my cheek. I look up through my eyelashes and we lock eyes, his the purest, most vibrant blue imaginable. Breathing through an open mouth to catch his breath, he licks his lips. I suck the length of him as he takes a step back to finally pull out of me. As his hands put his cock away and zip his expensive trousers, he shakes his head slightly and swallows.
I should have negotiated for more than 2 weeks. It's not going to feel long enough.
A little smile forms as I stand up. Penitent virgin for the win. Chapter 15. Cameron. Sitting at the back of the plane, I read the entire flight. Only once does a player who's passing me in the aisle stop to talk. He's a handsome and talented wide receiver with dark brown skin and a dimple in his left cheek when he grins.
"Cal," Declan says, "leave my assistant alone, she's working."
"Sure thing, Cap."
To me, he says in a low voice,
"I'm Kelvin Winters. Find me around when you're off the clock."
I smile but say nothing.
When I glance down the aisle as he walks away, I find Declan's dark gaze on me. He doesn't look pleased, but I let it roll off. I wasn't the one flirting. After the flight, we check into the hotel, and I'm given a key to my own room on the second floor. Within 15 minutes of entering it, however, Declan arrives. "I need to ask you something," he says. "Yes?" I unpack my toiletries from an open suitcase and set them on the desk. "You were good on the plane." "Think you could do that in a shared suite?" I tilt my head. "Do what?" "Be unobtrusive. I don't want distractions tonight." My brows rise slowly and I glance around my hotel room. "You're paying for me to have this room. If you want to be left alone, stay on point. Can you be as quiet as you were on the plane? No knocking on my door to offer me microwave popcorn, no blasting your playlist when I'm trying to sleep." It dawns on me that he wants me nearby in case he wants to have sex. I'm tempted to lie and say that no, I couldn't possibly leave him completely alone if we were sharing a room. But a part of me feels a weird sense of satisfaction that he wants me in his suite at all. "Yeah, I can chill quietly if you need to be left alone." "You're a rare find, Cameron." He says this like he stumbled on a blue diamond in an abandoned mine. It's a bit much. Then again, he has a whole posse of stalker fans. I doubt they'd give him a moment's peace if they ever got to spend a night in his hotel room. "Yeah, well, I'm a GU football fan," I say. "I won't do anything to mess with your focus the night before a bowl game. That being said, if I'm not going to blast my playlist, you better kill it tomorrow. Don't let us down." He flashes a smile that makes him look friendly, and therefore not like his usual self. It's nice to see him smile. "If we don't win tomorrow, it won't be from lack of effort. I promise you that." He runs a hand over his heart. Then, in an instant, he changes gears. His smile disappears, and he nods at my open suitcase. "Repack that. I'll have someone bring your suitcase upstairs." He hands me the spare key to his suite. "Wait a few minutes to follow me. By the way, I've got a team meeting this afternoon and dinner with the team tonight, so you'll be on your own. Order anything you want from room service." "Maybe I'll go out. There are tons of fans in town. I can see—" "No, I'd rather you didn't. Also, don't talk to other men. While the arrangement is in place, you're mine exclusively." We never discussed that. I definitely wouldn't hook up with anyone else sexually, of course, but trying to bar me from conversation with half the world's population is a bit much. "You're right that the original agreement lacked specificity, but you understand the spirit of what I'm saying. Don't flirt. And don't encourage anyone else to flirt with you." "Encourage them?" Glancing down at my white button-down shirt and black slacks, I shake my head. "By sitting and reading while dressed in business casual? Come on. Don't pretend you don't understand what I mean. When a man shows interest and a beautiful woman smiles at him the way you did, he thinks he's in. Don't do that again." My brows rise. "Are you one of those caveman guys who thinks if a woman wears a halter top, she's asking for it?" "Yes." He answers so quickly and firmly that I know he's kidding, so I laugh. "Come on, Declan, don't be that guy. You're going to run a huge company someday. You have to be better than that." The corners of his mouth curl down and he nods grimly. "At Hayworth, I will hire qualified women and will promote them into leadership positions. That's not what we're discussing here and now." "I know." My hand touches the side of his face. "Maybe this is where it starts." He pushes my hand away. "Don't act like you need to school me. That will not end well for you." My brow arches and my lips thin as I purse them. "Do not bully me." Something dangerous flashes in his eyes. "I'll do whatever I want. I paid 75 grand for the right." Asshole. The word is on the tip of my tongue, but I don't speak it. "You're right," I say softly. "You have today and 12 more to behave as badly as you want. Enjoy them." "I will." His tone is so cool and resolute, it cuts through me like an icicle. Damn him. Would it kill him to be nice? Of course it wouldn't. He just refuses to be. I'm coming to the conclusion that Declan always has to have the last word. And when someone challenges him, he always has to win the argument. Piles of money and gorgeous good looks or not, I do not envy Declan's future wife. Chapter 16. Cameron. My excitement as I enter the stadium is bubbling over. The two young women in front of me are wearing Hayworth jerseys. I snap pictures of the crowd with the pair centered in the frame. I post it to the Dispatch's social media account with the tags hashtag GUnites, hashtag college football, and hashtag game day. I wish I was wearing a jersey to publicly show my support for the team, but Declan vetoed that idea. My new mid-length navy and bronze boho chic dress is great, though. I will definitely wear it on campus to GU events. I've also got on my new soft calf-high brown leather boots and the silkiest, most beautiful bra and panties I've ever seen. There are advantages to being Declan Hayworth's sex slave. He was not in the best mood in the suite last night. There was no sex and no speaking, really. I started to wonder whether the anger and tension were something he wanted to keep bottled up so he could unleash it on the field. My seat is on the 50-yard line, 7 rows back. It's one of the best in the house. I'm thrilled. It's weird to be alone, but it's also liberating. I'm free to concentrate completely on the game, which, as soon as it starts, is close and brutal. Declan's arm is a cannon, and his ability to read the field is as fantastic as always. But there's something more. His energy is blistering. The Knights' offense is electric. Both defenses are machines, but containing the opposing offense is tough work. By the end of the half, the score is 28-24 with GU leading. I'm hoarse from cheering. The lines to concession are insane, so I stay seated, drinking a bottled water I got on the way in. I type an article for the Dispatch on my phone. There are two columnists who usually cover sports, but since I'm positioned practically as an insider, I'm going to write and submit a feature that includes the Knights fandom, which is out in force. My goal is to make the lower half of the Dispatch's front page, but top of the second page would make me pretty happy too. The dance team takes the field and I snap pictures. These women are always fierce, and it's been a joy to watch them perform this year. There were no athletic programs at my community college, so it's been fantastic to have that again. I'll be miserable if I have to leave GU at the end of the school year. The dancers begin with "Coming in Hot," which brings the crowd to its feet. The team's precision is incredible. They jump, sway, twist and tumble, all in perfect sync. The song morphs into "Bad to the Bone." They shout lyrics at the crowd, which shouts back. Then the song morphs again into "All I Do Is Win." We clap and jump up and down. I join the Knights' chant that rises up,